your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact somebody. Let me say this again. That your faith might not impact the world. Noah, by common standards, might even be considered to be a failure, because the whole world, except for 8 people, drowned in a flood. So his faith didn't impact the whole world, but his faith did impact some.
Welcome to Encourage Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us as we continue our series titled A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, with the first half of The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others.
I want to ask that you would stand as we have the reading of the Word of God this morning. In the reading on this third Sunday of Lenten will be from 2 passages, one in Genesis 6 and the other one in Hebrews 11. In Genesis 6, 5 through 14, we read these words. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way on the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. As we come to the message today, we want to look at the faith of Noah, a faith that impacts the lives of other people. We've been talking about faith, and we've been on a journey to the resurrection by the way of Hebrews chapter 11. And a couple weeks ago, I gave an illustration of faith right in the midst of our plans to serve God and do his will. And we read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We said that faith stands in the place of the thing that you're hoping for. Faith stands in the way of the thing that's not seen. And the building that you're sitting in right now is a product of faith. I put the picture up there of the other one of the people breaking ground, the groundbreaking ceremony. And so look at this. You can see what was here when we first started. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing was here. And then I remember we put together a rendition of what the new sanctuary would look like. And I shared this the last time, but I had this picture for years. I had it in my bathroom, and I had it on my refrigerator. So I would like to say every time I went to the bathroom or every time I went open my refrigerator that I looked at this and prayed, but that was not the case. But I will say this, that quite often as I looked at this picture, I was reminded of what we were trusting God for. And we started the journey to move into this sanctuary around 2010, 2011. And you know, there was nothing here. And so the picture that we had and put before the people, that took the place of the faith. And that's the message that the writer of Hebrews is trying to drive home in our hearts, is that if you trust God and if you have faith, that God will allow those things that he has ordained, that he has laid on our heart, that he will allow those things to come to pass. That's the message. That's the message of Hebrews. And then he gives us a bunch of men and women to carry this out. You know, the fact that we have planned to pay off our debt and to see how God is miraculously, I mean, you know, saints, it's nothing short of a miracle that somebody out in California whose parents, years, when I first got here, over 35 years ago, their parents have been dead and gone. Brother and Sister Hancock, you know, they both of them passed away shortly after I got here. And how that their family in California is moved in 2025 to give $150,000 to debt retirement. Debt retirement. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Man, what are you trusting? Yeah, it's one thing for us as a church to have faith and see God do these powerful things. But I want to move it off of the big level, and I want to move it right down to your life and ask you, what powerful things by faith are you seeing God do in your life? What are you trusting God for by faith? You know, when you think about it, I'm not trying to be morbid, and I'm not trying to cast gloom and doom, but the fact of the matter is that probably over half of this people in this sanctuary in 25 years are going to be gone. Oh, no, somebody said. And we are what? By faith. Just think of the people that started this church in 1897, right? Think of all the people that have served over the years. And, you know, I don't know what their vision was for continuing on this church, but I'm hoping if the Lord tarries, if Jesus doesn't come, that 100 years from now, that this church will continue to be thriving, ministry will still be continuing to go forth, that we will have ladies' fellowship, men's fellowship, marriage ministry as we move into the future. And so by faith, right now, we are investing in the next generation. By faith. Believing that God is going to work something powerful out in the life of this church, as we have seen him do and as we see him continue to do. Well, that's my introduction. Let me get into my message. A faith journey to the resurrection in Hebrews 11. The faith of Noah. a faith that touches the lives of others. Notice this. Your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact somebody. Let me say this again. That your faith might not impact the world. Noah, by common standards, might even be considered to be a failure, because the whole world, except for 8 people, drowned in the flood. So his faith didn't impact the whole world, but his faith did impact some. Notice on the slide up on the screen, and I've read most of these scriptures this morning. Your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact some. The whole world was caught up in wickedness. Genesis chapter 6, 5 through 7, and 11 through 13. Noah's righteousness impacted his family. Let me just real quick read that. Genesis chapter 7, in verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, again, what am I saying? Your faith might not impact the whole world, but it can impact some. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and thy house into the ark, for I have seen thy righteousness before me in this generation. Come into the ark, you and your house. Noah's faith impacted his family. Noah's faith led him to build an ark that saved his family. We read that in Hebrews, that he built an ark to the what? To the saving of his house. That his faith impacted his family. Noah's family experienced God's deliverance. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, it says 8 souls were saved out of the flood. That his faith impacted his family. And then in Genesis 9, look at this. After all was said and done, Noah's family was blessed. Genesis 9 and verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. You know, the fact that your kids and your grandkids, and some of us, your great grandkids, are in your family, that there's a covering that's over them because of you. Because of you. Now, you know, they might be out doing all kind of stuff, you know, involved in all kind of things. But because they grew, now again, I'm not teaching any bad theology this morning. I'm not saying that your kids and grandkids are going to be saved, you know. I'm not saying that. I'm not giving that promise, right? But what I am saying, because of your righteousness, there's a covering over your family. And if they in their hearts bow and ask the Lord to save them, if they in their hearts bow and ask Jesus to come and be the Lord of their life, God will do it. God will do it. And so we say that your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact some. I venture to say that many of you have never heard of a man by the name of Ed Kimball. Well, Ed Kimball, back in the 1800s, he led a Boston shoe clerk by the name of Dwight L. Moody to Christ. That D.L. Moody, that this guy Ed Kimball led D.L. Moody to Christ, who became a great evangelist. And many of you have read books by D.L. Moody. As a matter of fact, the institute in Chicago, Moody Bible Institute, is named after D.L. Moody. Moody's preaching stirred the heart of a pastor by the name of F.B. Meyer. And Meyer, as he was preaching, he reached a man by the name of Wilbur Chapman, who came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Chapman began to travel and give revivals, and he employed a guy by the name of Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday was a baseball player, but Billy Sunday was also a great evangelist. And Billy Sunday preached in North Carolina. And the people, man, were so impressed by Billy Sunday. The Lord moved so mightily through Billy Sunday that they invited him to come back to preach. But Billy Sunday couldn't come back. And so he asked an evangelist by the name of Mordecai Ham to come and to preach. And Mordecai Ham came and he preached. And there was a young boy in the congregation when he was preaching. That young boy's name was Billy Frank. And Billy Frank got saved and went on to be one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. And yes, that man was, some of you know, Billy Graham. Billy Graham. And you see, it all started with this man by the name of Ed Kimball, who nobody knows. And so your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact some. When I was coaching at Liberty University, there was a young man who I recruited from Atlanta, Georgia. And he dealt with all kinds of issues. And he didn't have a dad in the home, and he had a lot of struggles. His mom was a great lady of faith and did a fantastic job. And so he came to Liberty, and I just began, all the players there, you know, it's interesting. When I first came to Bethany, there were two players that I coached at Liberty, and Eric Green and Richard Shelton, and they were playing for the Steelers. And I remember we left Bible study one night, and there was somebody driving up behind us, and they were blowing the horn when we got to our driveway, and it was Richard Shelton and it was Eric Green. And they said, "Coach, man, you had such a powerful impact on our life. We wanted to bless you." And they came, and this was back when big screens first came out, right? They bought a big screen TV and a DVR for me and my family. And, you know, because they were appreciative of the ministry. But I'm going back to this man by the name of Richard Cox. And I spent time just talking to this brother and ministering to this brother. And then the Lord called me here, the pastor, Bethany, and one day I was sitting in my office and the mail came, and in the mail came this book, and the title of the book is Aim for Impact, and the author of the book, Richard Cox. I had no idea what happened to this brother after I left Liberty, but he tracked me down, sent me this book that he wrote, and he said, "Coach, I just wanted to thank you for the impact that you had on my life." Saints, what I'm trying to say is that your faith might not impact the world, but it can impact some. Who are you impacting today? You know, I realize sometimes it might not necessarily be people in our family, but I believe that there's somebody out there that God wants to connect you with that you can be a blessing to, that you can touch their lives. The first point in my sermon, and I know some of you, when you get the notes, you go ahead and read the whole thing. So let me just help you out. I'm going to go ahead and read, right? Right. So the outline of my sermon today is, he received a vision, he responded with virtue, he rose up visibly, he rebuked the vile, and he was rewarded with victory. So let's go ahead and look at this. First of all, we see that he received a vision. Notice what it says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, look at this, as things not seen as yet. He was moved by something that he didn't even see. Well, what were some of the things that he didn't see, right? Well, you know, there's a big controversy out as to whether, so I'm not going to argue this point too strong, but there's a big controversy out as to whether it had rained before the flood. You know, there are some Genesis scholars that say, well, no, it did rain before, and then there are some that say, well, it didn't. So I don't know, but I just want to say that if it didn't rain before the flood, just think, this brother built a boat and had never seen rain, right? Well, we do know for a fact that he saw the flood. Why in the world would you build a boat if you didn't see a flood? Right? So so people had to think that, man, this guy must be a fool. You know, look at him out here building this, well, I don't know what it is, this monstrosity that he's building. What's wrong with this guy? Why? Because Noah saw something that other people did not see. And I tell you what, over the years, man, as pastor of Bethany Baptist Church, I saw things that I knew people didn't see. And I held on to them. And God brings them to pass. God brings them to pass. Because sometimes people are not ready to receive the vision that that God has given. And so Noah had not, I mean, he was seeing things that other people didn't see. Look what it says. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The destruction of all flesh. They hadn't seen that, but Noah saw it. Noah saw it. According to some scholars, some theologians, that Noah lived miles away from any body of water. So the fact that, again, that he was working on this boat, that people thought he was a fool because there's not even any water anywhere close around. But he saw the things that people have not seen. Being warned, that the word being warned means being divinely instructed. That he was divinely instructed by God of things that people had not seen yet. Well, what was Noah's vision? Noah's vision, he received the vision of God's judgment. He saw it. He saw the fact that God told him that God was going to destroy the whole earth by water. And not only that, he saw a vision of God's grace. Oh, my goodness. He saw a vision of God's grace. And what was God's grace? God's grace was the ark. That was God's grace because it was the ark that saved 8 souls to continue on after the flood. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you got a vision? When was the last time you saw something that nobody else saw? When was the last time that God put a vision on your heart? Some people might say, well, I'm too old for a vision now. Well, need I remind you of Joshua and Caleb? Never too old for a vision. And some of you young people, man, you guys need to get a vision. You need to, as it says here, that he heard from God and that he believed that God could do what he said he could do. That's why I love pastoring Bethany Baptist Church, because over the years we have seen powerful vision. You know, again, when I first came, God gave me a vision of a radio ministry, a Bible institute, and a counseling ministry. Before I even got here, before I even stood one Sunday in this pulpit, God gave me a vision for that. And it came to pass. All 3 of those came to pass. God gave this church a vision for a multi-purpose facility.
Thank you for joining us today on In Kirk in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Noah, a faith that touches the lives of others, from our series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredin.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of anchored in the Lord.